Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of the spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
We got a change and a change came, bring it loud, Obama, household name, pushing forward in a brand new way, the roads of Mississippi singing them freedom songs, we got a spirit cause our God made it strong. With a promise, 30 acres and a mule. Nowhere in this to be so cruel. Standing for the belief, like I lead. Fighting in an unknown zone. Put away that strife, bring our truth back home. I wish Pop was alive. See the best of day when the knees fell down and his heels broke down. Victory in the heart, so amazing where we start. In the midst of the pain, the rain came. Water to feed, preserve the saint, and not for the fame. World was left without much in fact.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. It ain't no lie.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. It ain't no lie. I'm free, nothing holds me down. I'm free, no name.
No way could we sit back and let the past be in vain in the veins of those who bled for this insane thought. That if we dreamed and fought the fight, then one day we would never see the bloodshed fight and lose. And now we see the color lines through the red, white, and blue fly with no color lines. The reality to the vision of a sweet eye. Once trapped at the bottom, now we fly high. And God's not done yet. If sunrise is victory, then never shall we sunset. Take me years and tears, and thank God we trust, so it's already done. Jeez. And we don't need a receipt for this one, to have to bring back. No, we come
free, like an eagle in the sky. There ain't no lie, nothing hold me down. No chains hold us down. Walking to the promised land, we don't comprehend. Living out the dream, living in reality.
That was music from the Crosswalk Coalition. That's the West Coast station group. And my son, my oldest son's a part of that group. It's a gospel rap group. And if you want to find them, they're on Facebook. And you have to look at the, T-H-E, Crosswalk, C-R-O-S-S-W-A-L-K, Coalition, C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N, the Crosswalk Coalition. I think they do a real good job with their music. And they're trying to bring a message to the younger generation. I want to thank you again for joining us right here. 347-945-7040 is the number to get in touch with us. And if you want to give us a send us an email or anything that there that you might want to hear on the show, please feel free to do so at blakicz.1@gmail.com. And I want to thank Ms. Paralegal for doing my intro promo at the beginning of the show. As always, she is one consummate professional, and I really appreciate her assistance. Haven't had a chance to visit with her in a very long time. But I do want to welcome you, and we have several different interesting topics. And I want to say I had a chance to visit with one of my heroes today on his show, and he doesn't know me from Adam, but I have admired this guy for a very long time, Reverend Al Sharpton. I have two life subscriptions, can you believe it, to Sirius Satellite Radio, and it finally paid off this year. They put the power on Sirius Satellite Radio, and I'm glad to get a chance to listen to Reverend Al Sharpton and some of the other guests, some of the hosts on that network, and they are addressing some issues in a very, very informative way. Most of the hosts that I've heard on there, exceptional and exciting, interesting, and very informative. And I got a chance to visit on his show today and bring some comments, and we'll discuss what the issue was that I was trying to address on his show, as well as many, many, many other people. I was just a caller, an anonymous caller. But we'll be right back to begin our show. We want to take a look at one of the things that I want to share with you tonight is Mike Pence. I don't know if you've heard of him, but I'll give you some information about him. He's going to be running for the Indiana governor, the governor of Indiana, Mike Pence. And I'm hoping that look who's on. Let me see. I'm hoping. Let me see who's on the line right here. Hello, area code 111. Who's on the line?
Good evening. How are you?
Hello, Ms. Rabia Ahmed. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm just listening.
No. I was getting ready to do. Just hang on. Let me do this, and you're going to hang on, and I'll be right back.
Sure, I can hang on.
Because I got a lot of stuff I want to talk with you about anyway, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind.
If you don't go to sleep on me.
I know.
I'll be right back. Just hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
Hello, Sister Rabia.
Hello.
I'll be trying, hey.
That sounds so, oh my gosh, that just gives me chills.
You know, there's something, and Brother Alpha, thanks. I saw Brother Alpha in the room. I hope he calls up, and maybe you and he can have a dialogue. I still didn't get that number, that address to you or to him, so I'm in trouble again, as always. But one of the things that I wanted to mention was that I had a chance to visit with some, the lady's name is Mary Ellen, and she works with she deals with ladies who are incarcerated or and who are reentering the getting out, whatever you call that. What do you call that?
Reentry,
yes, into what you may call normal, quote unquote, social life. And I want to get you to meet her, and so I'll be in contact with you, and I'll be in contact with her. I wish I could look to see what the name of her. I was at her show one day here last week, this past week. But anyway, I want to get y'all to visit with each other one of these days, if you don't mind. Would you consider that?
Oh, absolutely.
Please.
I'd like to do anything.
Oh, okay, great. Because
help
she was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, anything to help the cause, absolutely.
Well, she's out of, I can't remember if it's Florida or Ohio, but she works with ladies and she has any number of connections. And, I'd hope that y'all could do some networking maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, you know, would you please expound on SMART? I mean, I know it's catching you off guard, but is there anything that you could do to enhance people's understanding about SMART? And then I'll read this article that I've dug up here and then about some of the things that are going to be happening in the future.
It's quite a few things that's about to happen with SMART.
Mm-hmm.
I just came from a meeting. I was going to call you and tell you about it. I had to do a presentation for the city of Chester. The mayor and the council people were there, and
wow, okay,
people that work at City Hall. And I also had a meeting with there's a gentleman who wants to donate SMART a house.
Wow.
And we have a list of 25 women already since March 17th. They're looking for housing, education, and jobs and things like that. So we're going to sign a lease next week, and hopefully we can start getting these women into our first smart home. So we're looking forward to that. We're helping there's an attorney that wants to do some work pro bono to help the women with any legal issues, because a lot of them have legal issues. And it's just building. More women are calling. One lady came today. I invited her. I met her, and her granddaughter is going to college, and she needed money, so she came by to tell me that she was selling dinners.
Right.
Everybody at so I made an announcement, and we supported her. Everybody ordered dinners, and
right.
That kind of thing is what. Makes us so happy is
right.
when we can help somebody on any level. She's a single parent. Her daughter is a single parent, and they're
mm-hmm.
trying to get their granddaughter into college. When we do things like that, it just warms the heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're looking by the end of the year to have at least 3 more smart homes. We're going to provide a smart transportation so we could take women, that do not have any transportation to get to their doctor's appointments or wherever,
Right.
So we'll be able to and be better equipped to provide transportation to the
right.
single mothers, especially the ones that are handicapped. Trying to get their needs fulfilled as well and, keep them safe and, stuff like that. So
no, that is absolutely phenomenal. And people don't understand. I mean, they don't know, the little bit of background that I do have.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the organization is concerned, I think, when did you start? Wasn't it a couple of years ago that I know you've had this in your mind for a very long time. But formally, I believe you began, am I right, that you began to formally address it maybe a couple years ago?
Yeah, my a girlfriend of mine, may she rest in peace, she gave me the name Smart in 1986.
Oh, wow. Right.
And for the last, 3 years, I think, actually in November, it will make it 3 years that I've started really, promoting Smart. And at first, I didn't want nobody to know about Smart because it was just my thing. But then I started talking about it more, inviting people, and started meeting about it. So it'll be 3 years in November.
Wow.
But I want to thank you. Can I just...
Get out of here. Nope.
I
but I appreciate
either.
It. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really not about me at this point. I am just so grateful. Because I've talked to, God bless, I can't say, maybe 100 people over the last several years. And I don't know, I was trying to think how you and I started talking to begin with. And it's like, one of the very few people that whenever I said something didn't think I was absolutely out of my mind. And so I was like, I can't believe this. And then once you started telling me, what you were doing, then I began to understand that, that was almost an extension of my own thoughts. And,
mm-hmm.
and my heart is with you. I just wish so much success for you. You just don't even know.
You inspired me. I have to say this here. You inspired me the first time you told me that you had a radio show, and I was on the radio. It's my first time on the radio, and I was so excited, and I called my family and my friends. I'm going to be on the radio. And the talk about Smart is something I'm very passionate about. Smart.
I know you.
And
are.
To talk about it, on the radio, that just gave me that extra, boost. And I was
right.
like, wow. Right. I said, this is, and then I just ran with it, and it's been I mean, you just inspired me to keep on moving.
Well, it's a mutual inspiration. I could probably, and you know, because of the fact that my primary interest is in the community, and I have to admit that I'm very partial to the advancement and of our community culturally, and I'm not averse to and the lady Mary Ellen. She is of different ethnicity than us, but you know what is so wonderful is that need and opportunity and possibility and share and inspiration and encouragement and it transcends all barriers. It transcends religion.
Mm-hmm.
It transcends cultures. It transcends ethnicities, because right now we are in the throes of one of the most horrendous environments that I could ever have imagined, you know, especially politically. And so I don't, you know, try to get into the politics with you, because, you know, to me, what you do is very similar to what I've experienced in the 12-step program. And it's I forget what you call this. Anyway, it's non-political. It because the 12-step program is designed to benefit anyone who has an addiction, and regardless of their faith, regardless of their culture, regardless of their ethnicity, or any number of other things, and to me, that's what you do. Your organization is out to assist single mothers, and that is what's so inspirational. I was intending to pull up an article on the Katherine Ferguson. Have you heard of that school there? I'm going to have to pull up that. I'm going to have to pull up an article about that, and I think you'll really appreciate it. I may just ditch some of the stuff that I was going to do initially, but I'm always thrilled for you to call through. And I asked Brother Alpha to holler at us here, and holler. That's a Texas term, but anyway,
I wanted to say hi to him because I was trying to get him on the radio
show.
Okay. And
he's out there in the chat room, and
okay.
I left the number in there, and I don't know if he's listening, because he's a part of a network, Miss Janice Graham. They have and I hope that y'all get introduced to each other, because they have a really nice network, and what's happening that I see is a reconstitution of media, and what I mean by that is that, you know, traditional corporate media, for instance, even Oprah. Now, you know, if you had had a chance that you could have gotten involved, then there's a strong possibility that Oprah would have grasped this and taken it forward. But a lot of people are, you know, kind of like, oh, wow, Oprah left. But she left a vacuum. She left, and that puts a lot of responsibility on any individuals, in my opinion, who are fairly conscious, who are in the media, whatever media, like the little media that I do. You know, and I appreciate, let me say, all the people who listen live, all the people who listen archived. I really appreciate it. I get, you know, some hits, archived listeners. But I haven't, you know, really gone to just get really trying to blow up my show, because I'm you know, it's several different reasons. I'm looking, hopefully, to retire before the year is out anyway. And then I have more time to devote to it. But, you know, The things that you're doing, for instance, and the things that the Katherine Ferguson School was doing, it's in I believe I want to say Detroit, Michigan, and what I'll do is, like I say, I'll pull it up. But let me read this article right quick. Would you let me read this for a minute, because I think this is going to be very have an impact on what you do. Would you hold on a second?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Anyway,
cool.
This is about WIC cuts, W-I-C, and balancing the budget on the backs of babies. Supplemental nutrition programs for women and children improves health and saves money. And this is Maureen Black and David Page. Dateline, 2:16 p.m. EDT, Eastern Daylight Time, May 22, 2011. Congress recent effort to balance the federal budget gives a new meaning to women and children first. The $500 million cut in Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, Children, WIC, that President Barack Obama and Congressional Republicans agreed to as a part of last month's budget deal, pushes the nation's fiscal concerns onto the shoulders of babies. Because WIC actually reduces health care costs, it's not clear why it's been targeted for cuts. Economic analysis from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, and the U.S. Office of Management and Budget has shown that every $1 spent on WIC results in a savings of $1.77 to $3.13 in health care costs, primarily attributed to reduced rates of low birth weight and improved rates of immunizations. Rather than saving money, cutting WIC services may ultimately result in increased health care costs. The scientific evidence is clear. WIC prevents low birth weight, iron deficiency, and undernutrition by providing nutritious food and nutritional counseling to pregnant and postpartum women, infants, and children. A Children's Health Watch, www.childrenshealthwatch.org, a collaboration of pediatric and public health providers who monitor the health of young children in five cities across the country, including Baltimore, has shown that WIC participation increases the likelihood of children being in excellent health with age-appropriate weight, height, and development, necessary building blocks for avoiding expensive health care and special education costs. Look in your grocery store. I'll just finish it. Look in your grocery store for the WIC insignia, and you will see that the WIC-approved foods represent the healthiest options, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and milk, foods that promote healthy growth and help avert the obesity epidemic that has overtaken our nation and our children. But WIC is not only about food. Every WIC mother receives education and counseling from WIC nutritionists. They learn to build healthy mealtime routines and avoid negative habits such as eating to alleviate stress or to manage behavior. By teaching healthy nutritional habits early in life, WIC supports not only babies but also families by emphasizing the nutritional skills necessary to become healthy adults. Maryland WIC serves more than 145,000 women, infants, and children every month. USDA's formula for states Maryland WIC may have to cut the budget by more than $11 million. Translating dollars to babies means that approximately 11,230 fewer Maryland families will receive WIC. Without WIC, Maryland's health care costs could skyrocket as rates of low birth weight, iron deficiency, poor health, and poor development increase. The cuts to WIC budget may result in reduced hours of service in WIC clinics and limited availability of WIC nutritionists. Babies and families are not the only losers in this story. Maryland grocery stores are likely to experience a loss of more than $8 million, representing a decline in an available revenue for food. The impact will be felt in every corner of Maryland, with the threat of even greater reductions in next year's budget. Babies are easy targets for budgetary reductions. They don't vote, and their cries are heard only by their families. But cutting nutritional services to babies is short-sighted, particularly during the time of rapid physical and brain growth. Nutritional deficits among babies who will not be ready to learn or earn will threaten our nation's economic health long after the current debate subsides. As our nation's future leaders, babies of today will be looking after us tomorrow and making decisions about our future and our country's future. WIC ensures that growing children will be well prepared to make wise decisions. So, Sister Rabia, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
So, you see what's happening, and this is why, to me, your program is so essential, because you are actually trying to bridge the gap between what a government offers and what the families actually need. And so this is where my passion comes from, whenever you hear me talking about what you do. And I, like I say, I appreciate it because I know you don't have to, you know, but I know that you are literally compelled to do it, if I'm not mistaken, you know, because it's been in your family for generations. Am I right? Hello?
You there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Are you?
Oh, yeah, kind of blacked out a second, I thought.
I said, oh, she's going to sleep. I know if I keep reading, she's going to fall off on me here. But, so, you know, what I'm saying?
That might have been my phone.
Oh, you need to go?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
No.
But, you know, what I'm saying is that what you do actually supplements government programs because
you know,
a lot,
one of
I
the,
think, go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to interrupt and just interject for 1 second.
Please.
One of the things that SMART promotes is women healing and the healing process of the women because, you know, as you know, I work in a state prison and I've been there for 5 years. And they get treatment. They
mm-hmm.
get a certain kind of treatment where we give them tools to change their way of thinking so that their behavior will change and they can become productive members of the society. But on the flip side of that, when they go home, they have to remember that the women that they damaged did not
right.
get any treatment.
Right.
You know, there was no treatment for the women and for the children. So here it is. You're coming home with all these tools. I learned my cognitive behavior therapy. I learned about unrealistic expectations, and I did a whole thing on coping skills. And you had all of these factors that built you. It built your self-esteem. It built your confidence. And you're going home from after doing 7-8 years. In the state prison, you're going back to the woman that you beat up, spit on, sold
wow,
drugs,
yeah.
that you know, that you abused
right.
physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. So
mm-hmm.
you're going home with this new you, and she's still damaged from all the hurt and pain, you know, that you invoked on her. You know,
right.
so what we try to do is we treat the women, you know, so
right.
We give them tools to build their self-esteem, to love themselves, you know, so that
mm-hmm.
they can become better mothers and better sisters and better daughters, you
right.
know, so that the whole family as a unit can get treatment, not just the husband because he was in jail and they have treatment inside of this prison and the women
mm-hmm.
still... We're still forced to go out. We still got to work. We still got to take the kids to school. We still got to do the shop. We still got to repair everything. So we're just trying to bring it all back in full circle.
Right.
So everybody gets treatment. Everybody can heal together.
Right.
Not
yeah.
not just you over there and me up there, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Sister Rebecca, since you what you're saying. Now, you know, let me give you this perspective, and please give me a reaction to it or your
mm-hmm.
a thought or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that you can, because your actual vocation was a counseling
mm-hmm.
Individual who were incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
and that and it was a volunteer. They volunteered, or was it mandatory that they come to your class?
Oh yeah, it's mandatory. They have to come.
Oh,
they have to, and a lot of them are very resistant. They don't want.
Okay.
I don't need no therapy. I don't need no counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're in it, after about a couple of weeks, they say, "Well, wow, I do need help. That what you're saying, that was me, you know." And they realize and they accept the responsibility of their actions, and that's the first. That's the first step of them changing is,
right.
you know, because they were in the pre-contemplation stage. So now they move to the contemplation stage. They know they have to change.
Right.
You
well,
know, and
mm-hmm. the change isn't mandated, but the course is mandated. The change comes as a result of what you're exposing them to intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, yeah, okay. And to me, that's a blessing that you have to be able to communicate those options and opportunities, you know, to a point that it's palatable, that it's acceptable. I mean, people eventually embrace it and then start to incorporate it into their life. Now,
mm-hmm.
my thought is that this, and if I could get your response,
mm-hmm.
you see, those guys that you're dealing with were once the children of mothers who were having problems.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
Had they had prior to, you know, depending on the conditions, depending on the situation, because there are some other things that I you know, we're going to address, like what this guy Neil Bort said down in Atlanta. I don't know if, have you heard about that?
No.
Okay, but anyway, we will, but what I'm saying is that one of the things is to me is that depending on the environment that you're in, because some brothers are put in a situation that they have no choice except gravitate to survive and for their family to survive, or for whatever, they've developed some animosity due to the fact that they've lost family members, and they gravitate toward these different types of aberrant behavior, the abhorrent behavior. But the idea is to me that what you're doing, what you're saying, with SMART, single mothers are really trying, and you got to, you know, let me know how to contact you, you know, through that eventually. You know, we kind of discussed a little bit about that, but you have a way that people can contact you. And I want to share that with people. And I have, you know, if you want me to, I have this card here, or if you, you know, whichever. But I'm saying again that these guys that are there that you're dealing with that are on stints of anywhere from 2 to 7, 8, 10, 15 years were initially those kids that you're dealing with those mothers, and the skills that you grant those mothers, or at least allow them to take a look at and see that there are some possibilities or some options for them, those then they can utilize those skills to avoid their children being placed in the same situations that their fathers have been placed in. And
mm-hmm.
am I right? Does that
yes.
make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's true.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. We're prevention specialists.
Right.
You know, we want to prevent these things from happening.
Right. Right.
We want to stop this cycle. You know, we want to
exactly.
put out the fires and keep
right.
and put, you know, keep the fires out, you know. So
right.
and hopefully, because you know, one thing I know it's horrible as a therapist to say, or as a counselor to say, is that everybody can't be helped. You know, everybody, this is not for everybody, and it's really, I never thought I would say it, but it's true. You know, this type of counseling, therapy, trying to help people, you know, trying to provide these type of services and trying to get people to change their way of thinking so that their behavior will change, and it's not for everybody. Unfortunately, it's just not. But for the ones that we can reach, you know, we're hoping that we can reach them in a capacity where they say to somebody else, you know, look, this is how they helped me. You know, so why don't you, you know, come on, you know, let's see what they could do for you. You know, and hopefully, you know, we can reach a few people.
No, it's not hopefully. I mean, because, see, you know, the vision that I have in my head, and
mm-hmm.
Let me say, Brother Alpha says in the room, and I wish you would call, man. You know, the brother, me and the brother, we get into our political stuff, but when you're here, you know, it's all about what you do, because it's so important what you do. He said, first thing first, taking these abusers back. Why, he said?
Why the women take them back?
Right.
Low self-esteem, familiarity. The men have damaged them so bad that they think that the man is the only one who's going to love them, and because they have been tricked, you know, men, and it goes both ways. But since we're talking about the men, they use a tactic called trickery. So you're with this woman, and you're making her think that you're the only one that can help her. So it's just like a child. If you tell a child, for 10 years, you dumb, you stupid. They're going to believe it. So if you're telling a woman for 5 years, nobody's going to want you, you know, I could kick your butt, and then I say, but I love you, I love you, and you repeat that cycle, they start to believe it.
Right.
So that's where we come in, so we could change their way of thinking. They get stuck right there, and because the man stays, and they look for, as long as it's a man in my house, you know,
right,
as long as it's a man here, I feel protected, you know. So he's tricking them, and some women do it to men too, you know, but he's tricking her. But
right.
So she doesn't know a way out because this is what she's used to. I look at our great-grandparents, you know, when our great-grandfather, our grandfather, he had a mistress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The grandmother knew. She knew.
Mm-hmm.
But what was she going to do? You know,
yeah.
He helps. He pays the bills. At least he comes home. A man is going to be a man, and you know. And this is what they settle for because they don't know. So we have to be the ones to teach them. We have to start making them feel good about themselves so that they can change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're here for. But Brother Alpha, how you doing? I wish you would call, but you know, this is the answer. Hopefully I answered your question. So what we're trying to do is to empower these women, give them tools that's going to let them take control back of their lives. You know, we want them to get the control back and not allow another entity, another man, or an unhealthy situation to have power over them.
Well, you know what I've found, and I don't have any formal determinant as to how I come to some of the conclusions that I come to. But what I found is, you know, I believe in the axiom of PIC. That acronym stands for prevention, intervention, and cure.
Cure.
And you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And but so my thought process is that that I've seen let's say, and we had a discussion similar to this last night in Ms. Sincere's room over on PAL. And, and it was, actually the conversation was turned on the idea of why do something about relationships, you know, and as it evolved, you know, it was about, you know, expectations in relationships and so forth and so on. But there are certain conditions that exists, you know, like the depends on the background that lady, that vulnerable individual comes from, and the support mechanisms that either once she's had a support mechanisms or once she's developed a resistance to being in that situation, whereas a lot of other women have had to capitulate or I got a PM, but and it just threw me off. But anyway, what I'm saying is that a lot of, you know, for instance, there are a lot of sisters. I've experienced this in my life. Well, Mama said. And my sister said, and girl, you know, you ain't, you know, and I've got relatives that I've seen go into that mode where, girl, I ain't gonna, you know, this, you know, you ain't gonna do this, and I got me a good man or whatever, and I, you know, here's the game, all right, I'm gonna give you, and I try to help my daughters and my granddaughters because, you know, that changed my whole thought processes. You know, all of a sudden now I got daughters and granddaughters, and I'm out there running my job down, and I'm like, oh Lord, you know, now there's somebody going to catch them out there and run the same game down on. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that made me totally redirect my way of thinking, and I really had initially been taught to be a different type of individual than I am, but I, you know, you go the way you are so, there is some influence, and I'm raised in a real small rural Texas town, and I can't even imagine what it would be like to live under the pressures of larger metropolitan urban areas.
Sure.
Where that, you know, that there are just, you know, pressures that almost are unavoidable. But my point is, and Brother Alpha made a statement like this. And as a matter of fact, this is, I'm going to quote him. We were having a discussion. I can't remember what room it was, or I think it was Sister Indy DeClaire's room one day. And Brother Alpha made a suggestion that a vagina is not a clown car. And that's real. It's real direct. But it can be very, very accurate. Because no clowns should come out of it, and no clowns should go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, as you get to my age at 59, you can make these kinds of decisions. But I'm not, and I'm sure at 40 I might have made these kinds of decisions. But in my 30s, I had some problems making the right kind of decisions. But equilibrium to me is what does everything. Equilibrium is what, you know, it's not what's right, but it's everybody's accustomed to it, so it doesn't, nothing is destabilized. Now, when you change any aspect of that relationship, any dynamic, then it throws it out of equilibrium, and everybody fights to get it back the way it was. Why are you acting like that? What's wrong with you?
What's wrong?
You know, am I right?
You're right. You're right.
You know? And so then somebody, either one, somebody's going to acquiesce, they're going to break down and say, well, and go back and fall back into that previous behavior pattern, or they're going to have the strength to resist it. And because very seldom, even socially, in social environments, what I've found is that people want to influence you to come down. They want to attack you. You know, to go backwards, come down where I am. Rather than me, I hope and pray that I have the kind of a mental state that allows me to try to reach up to where you are, rather than to have to use any kind of negative, divisive tactics to have you break down to where I am, so that I feel comfortable. You're just as bad as I am. No, I don't want it to be that way. I want to be as good as you are. I want to raise my level. You know, and so, but I've seen, you know, people come from different kinds of, you know, and when you come, I don't have any brothers and sisters, and so I never really, you know, people think, oh, you were spoiled. No, I wasn't spoiled. I was raised by my grandmother, my great grandmother, and they put some wood on my, but you know, you know, when you're raised by women. You couldn't go swimming because, you know, down in the creek with the other guys, they beat you to death because, I mean, they were frantic. Anything I did, they were frantic. You know, oh, boy, if you get hurt, we don't have money to get you well. You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is that people seek, whether it's comfortable or not, familiarity. And very few people can stand to be ostracized, pushed away, pushed out of the pack. And you know what I'm saying? And you know, my daughter, like, she's a teacher, and I'm so proud. I have to say that, you know. I got a daughter that's a nurse, and I got sons that do different other things. But
that's
I'm just as proud of either one of them. But
that's fantastic.
But she and I, we communicate. Thank you, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I tell her, you know, she and I have a conversation. Finally, she's 34, and we can talk. It's not a, girl, you better, you know, we talk like two people, you know. But, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, she deals with individuals, you know, and you can't see behind why a person has a behavior problem. You know, you just, and a lot of people don't even care to explore what caused that person to behave a certain way. They just react to that behavior, right? And so I said, baby, listen, you know, you can get a cut, a nasty cut on your hand, and you can take it to the hospital, and they'll clean it up and bandage it and put all the antiseptics and everything on it. But if you take it and stick it in a cesspool, it's going to get reinfected. And so when she sees a student in school that has a behavior problem, I said, that student has to be, and everybody doesn't, it's hard to give a person the power to go back into the environment that you just came out of and change yourself inside that environment, because people start going like, who in the hell do you think you are? You done ran around here and got a little education and you think you running something? You think, you know, and so most people will just go back into their familiar pattern and get thrown right back to the wolves again. Am I making sense now?
Yep, it's the truth.
You know, so and what y'all do is help that woman to develop enough confidence and self-esteem that she doesn't have to involve herself in re-engaging in that old behavior pattern. She has the strength to say, "I'm not going to do it. I don't need you to say I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need your approval today." And if it's like 12-step program, I might tomorrow, but I don't need it today.
She
began, you know, as she begins to recover and gain a little bit of strength with a whole different support network, which that's, it do all the mothers come together and support each other?
We have a support group that we just started. So the women of SMART, they, you know, they sit and they, it's, I mean, it's really, really deep. And everybody supports each other. But I think that a lot of times when we get into these situations with the women, a lot of people, even with the women, don't see how much damage has been done, because we have to still pick up, you know, go to work every day, act as if, you know, go to school, take the children to school, help them with their homework, do their hair, take the boys to the barbershop, you know, pay the bills, clean the house, still got to cook. So we still have to do our duties, you know, as the mother, as, you know, as the teacher, as the doctor, you know. So we don't have time to sit and reflect that, wait a minute, I do have a problem.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So
right.
For all these years, you don't even think you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that quite often from some of the women. They're sitting, they say, you know what, not until we started talking, not until we started listening, not until we started paying attention, you know what, I am damaged. You know, I do need some help, you know.
They never knew what it was before that.
They never knew, because they became so complacent and just going about with their every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it was, you know, I didn't have time to stop and think that I had a problem. I didn't have time. So I just went on with my every day, you know, just moving right along. And some women substitute that hurt. Some women started taking drugs, and some women became prostitutes, and they took that route. You know, some of them came back, and some of them didn't. You know, but they was called themselves self-medicating. Through you know, unhealthy measures, because they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to tell nobody. You know, they didn't want to admit that they had a problem. You know, so they took an alternative route.
That was my deal. I mean, I used to, you know, my drug of choice was weed, marijuana back in the day. And I had a very, I've always not an educated person, so I've always just had to get reasonable jobs, you know, sell my time for the most that I could get for it. And because, like I say, I'm too ugly to pimp, too dumb to hustle, and too scared to steal. So the only thing I could do is work.
You need to stop.
But, you know, the point is that I was getting high and I had a good job. I wasn't stealing and I wasn't, you know, doing anything, you know, except maneuvering around in the community, getting what I wanted to get and smoking my little stuff and going on about my business. But when I got into a situation which was work-related, I had to go into a treatment center, and I was so mad. I was so angry. Why am I here? What I work, you know. And then I began to realize that, yes, I did, you know, I was always in an altered state of some sort. You know, mind, as they say, mind altering, mood changing substance. And it was to compensate for a lot of the inability that I had to initiate a coping process. You know, one that was what I might say is correct, a correct coping process. So anyway, I was granted the opportunity to develop some new coping skills, and that those are the things that began, you know, to change and have me, you know, do that what you call an introspective look at yourself and do that inventory and really look at, because a lot of times you suppress things that happen,
mm-hmm.
Feelings that, you know what I'm saying, and so
mm-hmm.
you spend more time, and the more the higher I can stay, the more I can keep things buried, because they to me are so astronomical that I can't, you know, monumental. I can't see how could I ever deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I get a chance to sit down with someone, for instance, we had to, quote-unquote, have a sponsor, at which, I'm telling you, the technique was a marvelous technique, 12-step program, for me. I can't say for everybody, but for
mm-hmm.
me it was a marvelous opportunity to have had that exposure. And you have to have a person that you can trust. That's not going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, look for your little weaknesses. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I see now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the old guy, I'm going to tell you honestly, the guy that was my sponsor was an Anglo man. He was an older man. He was like, I was 36 or so, and he was like probably then 50. He was probably 20 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And his arm, his hand was cut off above his wrist on his right hand. And this man, he was not a model, GQ model. He was a little short man, kind of wrinkled up, had big thick glasses, but he always smiled. He was smiling. Because he was so happy to be clean.
Wow.
And that's who I did my 12th. You know, you know, number one, you got to admit that you're powerless over your addiction.
Over your addiction. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that. How am I going to do that? Man, I could. I run stuff. Stuff don't run me. I was getting beat severely about my head and shoulders. Because I thought I was handling my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the one of the major things to me was that I had to become willing to go to any length
to
stop using. And to any
sure.
length, you would think. And what that meant was I have to do the rest of the steps. I have to
mm-hmm.
pay attention, be involved, be engaged. So I don't know if y'all's process is like that. But, you know, that the
we don't have like a 12-step. I mean, the women who want to go to the 12-step programs and groups, we encourage that.
Right.
The ones who want to attend the NA and AA meetings,
mm-hmm.
we encourage them to go.
Right.
You know, because it's not just one right way of treatment.
Right. Right.
You know, so. We, you know, some of them say, well, that's not really for me. You know, I like to just sit. One lady, she just likes the support group.
Right.
She said that's what's helping me is to be in the support group. You know,
right.
that's what's helping her. So, but we encourage to go to and to take advantage of all of the different programs that are out there in the communities. You know, some people like to, one lady's therapy is writing. She has a journal. So
yeah.
She writes every day. She writes
mm-hmm.
in this journal.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, she reads what she wrote the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's therapy for her. That's what's helping her. You know, so
you know,
we, Mm-hmm. Whatever works, you know, if this is what's working for you, I'm not going to say, no, you got to do the 12 steps. No, you got to do this.
Oh, that's great.
You got to, you know, no.
Yeah.
If this is what's working for you, then we're going to support this with you.
Wow. You know, that was one of the reasons. Excuse me, I was so happy that Nips, Poetic Nips, and that's Chocolate Nips and Kiwi, Onyx Rose, Neo Buck, Poetic Soul. I don't know these people, Black Ice. Bedroom Bully, but you will. I mean, you know, I have some stuff that I have on here on the switchboard by them, and I would share it. But I just was so glad that you called through tonight, and I was going to visit with you. If you want me to share it, I'll share some of it with you. But, you know, because they what they do is poetry.
Cool.
Yeah, poetry and spoken word, and they are real good. And there are some people on here like the Poetess, DePoetess, the Poetess. And there are some other groups on here that do poetry. So, on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, don't go anywhere. Give us a call if you'd like to be a part of whatever we got going on here. 347-945-7040, Thursday 7 to 8:30 p.m. And again, Brother Alpha, thank you for joining us in the chat room. I'm speaking with Miss Rabia Ahmed, and she is the CEO of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying Incorporated. And it's an organization. I gotta get my card right here. It is devoted to. I'm so happy you gave me this card. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and/or reunite families during the reentry process. And if you want to talk about that reentry process, if you want to talk about that.
I'm going to say this here real quick about the reentry process.
Yeah.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to say real quick because I do have to go. When I called in, I had to go to two meetings. So when I called in, I had just came home.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that I called in. But I really had to do a couple things before I go to bed.
I know. Okay.
But the reentry is... I said this at a meeting that I was at tonight, was the reentry is not just for women who come out of prison.
Right,
it is for women that want to reenter into the community after being abused or damaged in some shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to reenter back into the community because they were being abused for 20 years.
Right.
And they
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to enter in a so-called normal society. They don't know. All they know was being abused was my way of life. So we want to get them an alternative way of life.
Right.
Opposed to thinking that being abused and being kicked and being cursed out or being homeless, you know, that this was a way to live, you know. So it's the re-enter. So they were already there at one point, so it's the re-enter into a functional, normal community that is healthy for them and for the ones who have children. So when we say re-entry, I think a lot of people look at it as if it's a re-entry from prison, you know, but it's not only prison. It's they may have been incarcerated in their bedrooms. They may have been incarcerated, you know, spiritually. They may have been incarcerated verbally. So we want to give them the chance to gain their power back so that they could become productive to themselves and to the community.
That is excellent, and I really, Sister Rabia Ahmed, appreciate you sharing your time
Thank you.
And I know you have to go, and I hope you know you're welcome to come back anytime you choose to.
Thank you.
And you have a beautiful night.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye, Brother Alpha, and Black Ice. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse to addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for educational and community integration. SMART Incorporated, Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, zip code 19081, phone 484-905-2027, 484-905-2027, fax 302-761-9019. You can also contact us at smart2change@yahoo.com.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nips, host of Nips Poetic Nook on PowTalk.com.
You have to understand that the whole thing of incorporating and developing and forging an ideology. You have to understand that the whole thing of incorporating and developing and forging an ideology is very important when you begin to deal with the masses of people, especially the vanguard, people who are the vanguard, people who will begin to articulate and people who will begin to supposedly educate the masses of people. You have to understand that what's necessary is an ideology that goes beyond the whole thing of, you know, like just the physical state of blackness.
And now that we have arrived, now that we have followed you at your every move, every attempt to escape the obvious, that you can run, but your legs be too weak to stand on your own two feet. And no suburb is safe from our gaze. Now that we have tolerated the 500 plus year reign of slavery's fuckery, listen to your pundits screaming spin to a diminishing populace. Now that your flag is starting to look like our flag too, let us wave it in every hood, every barrio, every ghetto, every corner where the brothers rap about what we gonna do, when we gonna do, what we gonna do. Now that Jim and Jane Crow has discovered that they are sterile and can no longer produce the hate that hate creates, then let us show you exactly how to love somebody besides yourself. Now that we have come this far, let's get rid of this nigger you seem to need so badly to validate yourself. Sambo, that coon, that negro that scientific evidence can't seem to produce. There never was any niggers in God's creation. But you don't know who that is, do you? Well, one day, I'll explain it to you. Now that we have indeed arrived, make it plain like James Baldwin said and cut the shit. Now that the Queen's armada of belly swell ships sail no more, allow us to fill her guts with the semen of truth. Fondle her sagging bosom slow like winter molasses, with fingers left chafed and broken from slavery and servitude. And kiss her lips not with our own, instead let her swallow what remains from our genitals once enslaved veins. Now that our voices have been unshackled, hear us out and hear us clearly. We are your tired, not your poor. We are your building blocks, your inventions, your cure. We are the stench that you say you smell when you inhale our beauty. We are the mammy's tits that once breastfed your seed, filled them with right knowledge that would slowly creep into their souls. We are the plows, we are the hoes, the harvesting hands that provided you feed. Now that we are here, now that we are here, now that we have finally woken up from our own disastrous sleep, and now that we have parted your thighs asymmetrically between your red, your white, and your blue, and penetrated you to the core. The souls of the fallen, all of them will come inside you deeply, vibrate the G-spot of your fallacy, hit the walls of our tragedy, and make you come even harder at the memory of our struggle. Fondle your empty and spent nipples slowly and invigorate the nerve in you, and kiss your lips, not with our own, but with the stroking of the shaft of your own guilty consciousness. We will rock you and your insane world, and it will never be the same.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name.
And that was the idea, I believe that was Brother Poetic Soul, the idea right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. If you have a desire to give us a call, 347-945-7040, and that was from the Nip's Poetic Nook on Pal Talk. If you get a chance, check it out one of these days. It's I think it's Tuesdays it's open, and they do a variety of poetic offerings, and I'm sure that you would be more than welcome to enjoy and participate in the program that they have there. And it to me, I even wrote a couple of poems, and I am by no means a poet, not in the least. Let me say, I want to be sure to say that I'm very grateful that Sister Rabia Ahmed came through, and okay. See, hey, Brother Alpha was telling me something here. Brother Alpha, let's see, why isn't Sister Rabia ever in the chat? Oh, she doesn't sign in. I don't know. I'll ask her, but we'll for sure find out. And We'll work it out. I promise you that. Somehow we're going to work it out. Maybe I can get with you Saturday. I'm off Saturday, and I think you're going to be on, and I'll try to get with you. And you sent me a site here, Brother Alpha, and I want to thank first, let me thank Sister Rabia Ahmed, the CEO of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And I want to thank Brother Alpha in the chat room. Appreciate you, brother, and your support. And you know, of course, that you are always encouraged to call in, because I really want to kick some stuff around. I want to kick some stuff around, you know, about this Anthony Weiner and also about what Bort said down in Atlanta about the thugs and all this different kind of stuff. And those are some issues that I think we really need to, you know, all of us need to discuss and bring to the forefront. And I have, of course, an opinion about it, as usual, as I have an opinion about almost everything and anything. And I'll entertain your opinion if you want to give us a call, 347-945-7040. 14 past 8, 8:14, right here in West Texas, the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I want to read this again because I think it's essential that I do this occasionally, if not very, very often, is because this, I think, needs to be more understood and well received. The opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776, states as follows. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And those passages have, that's what you hear Martin Luther King talking about. And a lot of people thought that civil rights was a, quote-unquote, a black thing. Civil rights is an American citizen thing. And when you hear this part of the Constitution that says all men are created equal, what I think it would be a very essential for you to realize is that men is designated not by intellect, but by anatomy. That is the differentiation that I think is very, very significant and needs to be always seriously considered when people try to suggest that, well, we didn't consider you to, I don't need you to consider me to be anything. I don't need your perspective about trying to make a determination about me, period. You know, you don't hire me. And you know, there's this guy, Pawlenty. And Pawlenty made a statement, Pawlenty. And I looked that statement up. But, you know, this is one thing that I was talking about that I had an opportunity to look at, talking about Tracy Morgan. It says, and what I said was, why is there such an uproar when remarks about gay people are made and not the same outrage when the N-word is used? Why is there such an uproar when remarks about gay people are made and not the same outrage when the N-word is used? All right. What I said was the N-word is an acknowledgement of a shared social experience that is unique to one ethnic group who just happened to be people of African descent who were unlawfully, unjustly, and inhumanely denied the full benefits and protections of the Constitution of the United States. So you wonder, well, why can they say, well, it's because we have a unique bond with each other. That's why we say it. That's why we say it. And should it be disbanded? Should it not be said? Possibly, probably, you know. But it's up to you. It's up to, definitely I don't particularly care for someone to refer to me that hasn't had a similar experience to mine. You know, as if you were. You're not that familiar with my experience. So, you know, you would have to have some similar experience to mine before I would accept or would be less offended by your use of the word, or the N-word, so to speak. And it says here, Tracy Morgan comes out for gay marriage, says he'd love his son if he were gay. And this is because of some remarks that he had said earlier. And, you know, one of the things, the observations that I made about that particular remark by Tracy Morgan was that, you know, universally the N-word offends one ethnic group, but any other word offends many other ethnic groups. For instance, if you use a term to refer to gays that gay individuals, that is not acceptable, then it crosses ethnic lines. And so then when you offend European ethnic individuals, then you're going to get a severe backlash. But just to offend people of African descent, you know, it's almost as if you can dismiss it, and it's not really that important or significant. One of the reasons that I am so vociferous about my objections to using those terms is that it debilitates a lot of individuals, and I don't like to see it used on my grandchildren, for instance. It could potentially emotionally debilitate them, cause them to have to try to justify in their mind some way, you know, what their existence, why should they have, you know, their existence be acceptable. I don't think that I need to make any determination. I need to make the same determination as any other individual about justifying my existence. The hell with whatever anybody else thinks. And but when I'm speaking on politics, talking about what I call the REPUBLIKONS, Republicons. If the Republicons can't even stand up to Rush Limbaugh, how in the heck do we expect? How do the voters expect them to stand up to world leaders? You know, as if Rush Limbaugh runs a country, and these guys have to bow down. You had 7 different people on the stage the other night. If you watched that debate, I watched it pretty much all of it, and I wouldn't call it a debate. Actually, it was just a conversation amongst a bunch of idiots, a bunch of fools, as far as I was concerned. But because I'm straight up Democrat and 100% Obama supporter, just in case you didn't know. But the Republican Party has been in the House since 2010, and they have yet to produce a credible jobs bill. They, the Republican Party, are useless camera hogs with no clue as to how to govern. With Anthony Weiner's resignation, will the Republicans finally find the intestinal fortitude to showcase their morals by telling David Vitter to resign, especially since they were so very vocal in calling for the step down of Congressman Weiner? Well, Congressman Weiner stepped down, so where are you? You're going to be calling now, since we got that out of the way, you're going to be calling now for Mr. Vitter to step down? Because actually, as Brother Al Sharpton said, Weiner took pictures of sex and didn't have it, and Vitter had sex and didn't take pictures. So I want to see the sanctimonious. And that's 7 people up there on that stage, and neither one of those 7 people, because they'd never ask him the question, would you ask Vitter to step down? What would they have responded? Because obviously if they ignore it, which President Obama, you know, he said, well, why did he ask Weiner? He didn't ask Weiner. He said if that was him, he would. He said he's a leader of the country. So would it you not expect that the leader of the country would ask a guy who was involved with prostitution to step down? Please, sir, get out of the way. You're a distraction. We don't need you, instead of making contributions. And don't tell me that the moral majority and the Christian right are going to support him. Are they going to do that? Can you imagine the hypocrisy if they do? Can you imagine the hypocrisy if those 7 individuals do not go to Vitter and tell Vitter to step down? That's the story of the week. The story of the week is not Weiner resigning. The story of the week is Weiner putting the pressure on Vitter and Ensign. That's what the story of the week is going to be. Mr. Boner happened to step up and open up his fat mouth, as well as did Mr. Cantor open up his fat mouth about Weiner stepping down. Now, are they going to open up their fat mouths and tell Mr. Ensign to step down? That's what I'm looking forward to, because if they don't, they're hypocrites and liars. That's what I'm going to see. And you know, you can run it any kind of way you want to run it, but that's what they would be, in my opinion. If they don't step up and ask with Vitter, you know, Vitter, you need to step down. You're just an obstruction, a distraction, you know, because and then Pawlenty, I got to do this here with Pawlenty right quick. I got about 6 minutes. Maybe I can get this read in 6 minutes. But you got to hear this, Pawlenty, and I want to give you an idea. I wanted to talk about Mike Pence, who's going to be running for Congress. I mean, for the governorship up in Indiana. Maybe I'll get to that next week. If you get a chance, tune in next week, right here, 7 to 8:30 p.m. on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And again, thanks, Sister Rabia Ahmed. Thank you for stopping through, Brother Alpha. Always a pleasure. And I really wish you had given a call in. We only got 5 minutes, and that's not near enough time to let you do your thing. This is Pawlenty. This is from the Huffington Post. Tim Pawlenty. Bill O'Reilly playing a race card on me. GOP White House hopeful, and this is by who? I don't know. I can't. Let me find the author of this article. I don't see an author of this article. AP, the Huffington Post, 6/12/11 at 1:14 p.m. Washington, GOP White House hopeful Tim Pawlenty is scoffing at claims that he's too nice and too bland to take the political fight to President Barack Obama. Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly said last week that Pawlenty was invisible and that Haagen-Dazs could put his picture on vanilla. During an appearance on this week's edition of Fox News Sunday, Pawlenty asked host Chris Wallace if O'Reilly really used the word vanilla to describe his persona. After Wallace confirmed the word choice, the presidential candidate joked, "Is he playing the race card on me?" Wallace replied, "I don't think so, sir. I think he was just talking about the taste, not the color." The former Minnesota governor said he had a strong record of running the state, but that being strong is not the same as being loud. And Pawlenty said, "If you want a clown in chief, vote for somebody else. That's not me," he added. Now, this is what I want you to take a look at as I close out the show this evening. What does this mean? Are you playing the race card? Does that mean that Pawlenty buys into this theory that there is different races? And if he does, is that not an insane thought? How can there be different races? There's only one freaking race. They're different colors, of course. But Pawlenty said, "Are you going to play the race?" What does he mean, play the race? I don't want a president or an individual on the ticket as vice president who's going to sit up and tell me. I mean, that tells me, just like a boss I had, you know, he would use the N-word. He used the N-word on me one time. And he told me that I need to get, you know, let it roll off my back. Like water rolling off a duck's back. And I told him, I said, "You, sir, give me what they call development ratings. Employee development ratings, PDRs, performance development rating, or whatever they call it." And I said, "So you're going to call me the N-word, and then some other guy that doesn't carry the same moniker sits down, and you mean to tell me that you, in your mind, can give us both a fair assessment when you've already determined that I was different?" And, you know, this guy, he really looks stunned. Because these guys never think about these things like this. They make these inaccurate statements, and then they expect that some guy like me is going to accept it without question. Hey, you need to talk to a kid. I'm a grown-ass man. I ain't no damn kid. Seriously. Want to thank you for joining us right here on the Next Phase of Life.
'Cause I'm going through some things, yeah.